Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, but there is more cold, is more cost.
So do you all go to church as a family? Do you go to church? Iglesia?
Yes, we are a Christian family.
Very good.
We go to church.
Do you know much about Alfredo? Do you know Alfredo?
Yes, we meet him a few weeks ago.
Awesome.
They are very, very kind people, very great people.
Very good. Very good. We'll keep them in prayer. Keep praying for them. Tonight they're in our church here.
Yes, sir.
And what's your first name?
Yes, tonight.
Tu primer apellido.
My first?
Yeah, what's your first name?
My first last name is Chinea.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and I would like to welcome you to yet another introspective program, if you will. This is a recorded program. We are not live, but we're close enough to live wherein we could be. I apologize for last week. Things got a little busy. Things got a little hectic. And we just plain didn't have time to put a program together. But most everybody was in a turkey coma anyway. So I'm praying and hoping that you had a happy and productive Thanksgiving. That you were thankful for the things that matter in life, because a lot of us are thankful for the wrong things, I think, is the best way I can put it. The things we should be thankful for, in my humble opinion, are the things that cannot be quantified monetarily. You can't put a price on family. You can't put a price on health. You can't put a price on feeling joyful, even when surrounding circumstances dictate that you ought not to feel so. I've heard of people being thankful for their car or being thankful for their new home, and that's all well and good, God bless. But when we really sit down to take an assessment of the things we should be thankful for, when we sit down to numerically go through the things that we ought to be thankful for every day. I believe the things that cannot be quantified or valued monetarily should be at the top of the list. Thank God for Jesus. It's one of those things that has become cliche over the years because so many people have said it, but it's the truth nevertheless. Can you imagine the world today without Christ having been sent, without Christ having sacrificed himself, without Christ having done what he did, because his love for mankind was so that he suffered beyond what you and I can imagine. So, yes, be thankful. There's a good outcome to thankfulness. Godliness with contentment is great gain, the Word of God tells us. And so it is a good thing when we are thankful. I don't understand people that live in a country such as this that are able to have a roof over their heads, that are able to have gainful employment, that don't have to walk through, muddy alleys or snow drifts to get to where they're going, and still somehow not being able to muster up gratitude, not being able to muster up thankfulness. So there's a few things that we need to cover today. Again, I want to stay away from politics, but I can't help it because it's gotten to be such a circus it's gotten to be such a foolish thing on its face. It's just, it's idiocy is what it is. Because apparently, even though they realize they're not going to get anywhere, even though they realize that it's a moot point, they're considering impeachment articles as we speak. So they're ramming this thing through, man. It's like that ship that's taking on water, and they keep paddling further and further away from the shore. They've committed to this, apparently. But in all due fairness, they really have no other play. I mean, one of the people that was considered a front runner for the Democrat nomination of 2020 to take on Donald Trump just gave up the ghost this week. She bowed out. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, you're happier than most people, because this whole politics thing is making people less and less joyful. It's getting on people's nerves. But I do this so you might be informed. Kamala Harris, or Kamala Harris, as some people have taken to calling her, has officially given up on seeking the nomination of the Democrat Party for the 2020 presidential candidacy. And so there's only like 137 people left in the race. It's just sad. It's pathetic. The reason that these people aren't getting traction, the reason that these people aren't making any headway, isn't because they're unlikable. Some of them are. Kamala Harris is a person that is unlikable for many reasons. But the reason that they're not gaining traction is because their policies would take this nation back into the Stone Age, effectively. It would absolutely kill the middle class, and the tax rates for everyone earning a living would be so high that there would be no impetus or desire to work, to get a job. When you tax people beyond the 50% mark, let's say, there's less of a willingness or desire to apply oneself and build a business and hire people and do something. Look, Elizabeth Warren, who apparently now is, I don't know where she's at in the polls. I think the polls are irrelevant at this point. I think that the 2016 presidential race made polls irrelevant by and large. Because I was around. I was doing this program. I talked to a lot of friends during that time, and man, they had Hillary at 99%. They left that 1% in case she died or something, you know, contingencies notwithstanding. But there's not one person in this country, or the Russians, or the Ukrainians, or anybody else that tried to affect this election, if they did, that tried to affect it for Donald Trump, because they thought it was a sure thing. They had absolutely no idea what was about to come down on them when Donald Trump won the presidency. They'd all but popped the champagne corks. This is why it hit them so hard, because it was wholly unexpected. It's like driving down the highway at 80 miles an hour and then getting T-boned by a semi from your right. Like, how did this semi get here? There's no incoming road. How exactly did this person hit me? It's jarring. It discombobulates people. And nobody in the political class, nobody among world leaders, nobody that was in a position to try to affect the election was betting on Donald Trump. Let's just be honest. And yet, somehow he pulled it off. So So they're going forward with this impeachment thing. It's if they do decide to vote on the articles of impeachment, and if the articles of impeachment really are going to pass the House, then what's going to happen in the Senate is going to be a show for all ages. Let's just say it that way, and I believe that's putting it mildly. Because when it gets to the Senate, it's the Republicans that have the majority. The Republicans can call witnesses. The Republicans can start digging into who knew what, when they knew it, why a so-called whistleblower isn't made public, and why he's not really a whistleblower because he's talking about secondhand information, why somebody like Hunter Biden, per se, became a multimillionaire, even though he knew nothing about oil and gas, and the only thing of repute on his resume, other than his penchant for narcotics, if you will, was his daddy's name. So all this stuff is just going to get hammered and hammered and hammered. And if the Republicans are smart about it, they'll drag this thing out. Yes, have a trial. Because you know what? I guarantee you that those that were going to vote Trump in 2018 are going to do so in 2020. They realize this is nonsense on its face. They realize this is politicking at its worst. And they've made this nation a banana republic in their desire to do away with the big bad orange man. But through it all, even those that don't like his style, even those that don't like the way he comes across, can't deny that he's been successful in many areas. Right now, he's at the NATO summit, and he's actually getting NATO nations to pony up a few shekels, because up until recently, guess who's been responsible for financing the protection of NATO nations? You guessed it, you! If you're a tax-paying citizen, you were protecting France and Germany and Italy and all these other nations because we don't have no monies. We bought too much cheese, said the French. We do not have monies. And along comes Donald Trump, and all he demands is that they pay their fair share. It's going Dutch, baby. When you go to dinner with three other people, you expect them to pay for their dinner bill. But see, we've been picking up the tab for so long, in this country especially, for other nations, that when finally it comes time to say, hey, you guys want to, I mean, we're not asking you to pick up our tab, even though we've picked up your tab for a long, long time. We're just asking that you pay your share. But see, it's odd how every one of these contenders for the Democrat crown keep yelling about people paying their fair share. But somehow they have a problem with Donald Trump requesting other nations pay their fair share when it comes to NATO and when it comes to, you know, a common defense. Elizabeth Warren has no problem yelling at everybody, you pay your fair share, whatever that is, because it's an arbitrary term. What's fair share to her? Well, she's not going to be affected by it. Because the people that make the laws usually find a way to circumvent the laws that they make. The laws are for you. The subservients. For you, the serfs, if you will. That's who the laws are for. So pay your fair share. What does that mean? I am paying my fair share. I believe, personally, I'm paying beyond my fair share, to be perfectly honest with you. But I give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, because that's the way it should be. That's what the book says we should do. But Caesar's becoming a thief. So while on one side of their mouth they keep talking about people paying their fair share, they're beside themselves at the fact that Donald Trump actually told the French and the Germans and the Italians and the English to pony up. You want a mutual defense? Well, you know, let's make it mutual. Because the American taxpayer has been on the hook for this for a very long time. Trillions and trillions of dollars spent on NATO defense. While everyone else is sitting there going, all right, we don't have monies. Well, get some. Sorry, that's the way it is. Now, there's a lot of things that I wanted to talk about with you today, just so you understand the sort of climate that we will be entering in 2020. Because I've warned you of this, I've talked about it repeatedly, and I've even gotten like blowback from some people. Oh, that's never going to happen. They're never going to try to silence people. Well, apparently there is a purge that is due to take place on the YouTubes. And they, by all accounts, they're going to be purging a lot of people with, wink, wink, the wrong kind of opinion. So what the wrong kind of opinion is wholly arbitrary. They get to decide what is offensive. They get to decide what the wrong kind of opinion is. They get to decide whether you have a voice in the public square or not. So I have a feeling I already know who they're going to start to, you know, do away with, who are going to, they're going to start to deperson, if you will, because let's be honest. If you are a public figure or if you desire a public voice, if you get booted off, you know, Facebook, YouTube, and I guess Instagram, even though I don't use it, and Twitter, even though I don't use it, it would be very difficult, if not impossible, for you to make any sort of headway or get your point across or make your voice heard. Because these platforms have become the public square. And what is happening is visible and undeniable. What is happening is that people with the quote-unquote wrong opinion are getting deplatformed and their voices are being silenced. So you have a handful of people deciding what acceptable speech is. That's scary. It is to me, and it should be to you. Because right now they may be coming for those who differ politically, wink, wink, and have a different opinion politically. But if there is no pushback, if there is no outrage, if there is no outcry, I guarantee you, within the year, they'll begin silencing the voice of those that call out sin, because that's offensive. You're hurting people's feelings. How dare you hurt somebody's feelings by calling out sin? They will begin to silence everyone that they disagree with. And it will be arbitrary. And you will not have any recourse. That's it. You wake up one morning, your YouTube channel is gone, your Facebook account is shut down, you can no longer tweet, and there you are. No voice, no ability to reach the masses. Now, there's workarounds, and you can start new accounts, but eventually they'll find you again because it becomes a game of cat and mouse. See, and the reason they're doing this is because they understand, inherently so, that their arguments are baseless, that everything they're trying to propagandize and push on the average citizen, from transgenderism to climate change to the beauty of socialism, is demonstrably false, proven so, scientifically so. And so they don't want the pushback. They don't want a counter argument. They don't want anybody going, hey, maybe you shouldn't pump a five-year-old full of hormones and stunt their growth or stunt their development. Hey, you know, they've had tsunamis and earthquakes and hurricanes and all these things since pretty much the dawn of time. This is the way of nature. Now, don't tell me that a farting cow or my driving a car has caused these things, because they've always been about. Now, we know that biblically, because we always go back to the foundation. We always go back to the word. We know that biblically, during the last days, there will be an increase of earthquakes and pestilences, and call them natural disasters, if you will, in various places. There will be an uptick. But it doesn't mean that man's causing it because he eats a cheeseburger every other Tuesday. It's about control. These people want to control every aspect of your life, cradle to grave, what you eat, when you sleep, when you wake up, how much electricity you consume, what you drive. And believe me, driving is not in their plan, because, hey, public transport for everyone. We don't care if the next train station is 15 miles away. Find a way. We got to save the planet. And the insanity of this is that if we went back to the Dark Ages as far as our economy, if we shut down everything and started living in hovels and cooking our meat by sunlight, guess who isn't going to do it? The biggest polluters in the world are not on board. They're not going to participate. They don't care. India, China, they're not planning on doing what these people are insisting we need to do in order to save the planet, which there is no scientific consensus that it would save the planet. But you know what it would do? It would give the impotent and the intellectually inferior control. And boy, oh boy, there's nothing more dangerous than a dumb person with power. There's nothing more dangerous than an idiot with authority. Trust me on this. You see it in a macro level, and I've seen this time and time again. Meter maids at the airport. Perfect example. And when I say meter maid, they could be man or a woman, it doesn't matter. But they all have that same complex. It says drop-off zone. Somebody is exiting my vehicle. I am literally dropping them off. And I get a knock on my window. Gotta move now. Well, they're getting out of the car. They have one foot on the ground. Am I supposed to have them, you know, tuck and roll? Am I supposed to throw their suitcase out the window after them and hope it doesn't hit them in the head? How exactly am I supposed to move now? I don't care. I'm going to give you a ticket. Don't give you a ticket. Well, then give me a ticket, sir. I'm not going to ask people to jump out of my car while it's still moving when it says drop-off zone. And you take that example and you magnify it to someone in politics who actually attains and acquires control and power. Imagine the lunacy that will spew out of their mouth. And because they have the power and because they have the control, guess what will happen? The lunacy becomes law. And hey, you got to be a law-abiding citizen. You're not abiding by the law. Maxine Waters. 1,000 Maxine Waters making laws. All the while taxing you at what, 70%, 80%, 95%, 130%? Because what they fail to tell you and what people are realizing innately is that if these people start implementing the plans that they're putting forth, it would bankrupt the nation. It would bankrupt every individual in this nation, and still they wouldn't make a dent in what they want to make a dent in. So I guess the big news of the day is that while Donald Trump is getting NATO nations to pony up and pay their fair share, while he is representing these United States and doing a decent job of it. Look, he's calling people out. We've taken this idea of being non-offensive too far, because you have to call people out on their nonsense. You have to call people out on their deception. You have to call people out on their lies. And too many are, well, it's nice to be nice. Well, yes, but we're being nice and they're taking advantage of us. And they're doing so while laughing in our face. And the only thing that Donald Trump's doing is calling out the duplicity of other world leaders, like the French, like the Canadians, like the Italians, like the Germans. I'm very anxious to see the interaction between Madame Merkel and Donald Trump, because they're supposed to be meeting privately. And you know what? Germany is on a steep decline. This is the thing that we need to understand, is that of all the nations that make up NATO, our economy is the only one that is soaring right now. And the reason that it's soaring is because we still haven't capitulated to the idiocy of open borders. We still haven't capitulated to the idiocy of giving up our national sovereignty and letting anyone, everyone do what they want to do when they want to do it. But if we do go down that road, guess what? There have been dips in the economy before. There have been ugly dips in the economy before. There have been recessions. There have been depressions. And if this thing turns, the next recession or depression or whatever you want to call it is going to make 2008 look like child's play. Because people are racking up debt, man. Every single person I'm seeing is racking up debt like there's no tomorrow. And they're looking at me, well, when are you going to buy a new car? When are you going to upgrade? It's still running. I mean, it makes a lot of noise, and it's a little rickety, but it's still running. And while it's still running, why would I saddle myself with debt? And that's another thing that we for momentary pleasure, for instant gratification, if you will, we have, I'm going to say, we've bankrupted our children and our children's children's future, because we've gotten to the point where the debt that we have is almost unsustainable. We're talking trillions of dollars. And I'm sorry, but there's nothing wrong in your president and my president, because he is the president of these United States, asking other nations to contribute to something that they promised they would contribute to. I ran across this story this morning, and it's kind of funny, because it goes to show just how much this nation has been taken advantage of by every single other nation, including the westernized ones, including the, you know, ones that have economies close to ours. President Donald Trump responded Wednesday to Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's hot mic moment that went viral online. Well, he's two-faced, Trump replied when reporters asked him about the clip of Trudeau, but added that the Canadian Prime Minister was still a nice guy. Trudeau was caught audibly complaining about the level of media access Trump gave during a conversation with French President Emmanuel Macron and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson at a Buckingham Palace reception. He was late because he takes a 40-minute press conference at the top, Trudeau said in a small group of world leaders, and added, you just watch, his team's jaw drop to the floor. Trudeau and Trump spent 30 minutes with the press on Tuesday, while Macron and Trump spoke for 39 minutes. Trump responded to the clip during a meeting with German Chancellor Angela Merkel as the NATO summit continued in London. He added that Trudeau was probably not pleased by the fact that he called him out for failing to meet the 2% GDP defense spending threshold required by the NATO treaty. So this is a treaty that Canada and France and Italy and Germany entered into voluntarily. And the treaty that they entered into voluntarily presupposed that these nations would pay 2% of GDP for their mutual defense. Well, guess who's been, funding it when all the other nations haven't? C'est moi. Et tu. You and I and every other person that pays taxes. This should be something that angers the American voter. This should be something that angers the American taxpayer. Why are you paying for Germany's defense when Germany opened its borders and allowed millions and millions of migrants whose only desire was to see the destruction of the nation into their nation, giving them government benefits? Why are you on the hook to pay for the defense and welfare of France? Sell some cheese. Sell some wine. Come up with it, kitty. And, of course, Canada. Oh, Canada. Sell some maple syrup. Do something. You owe 2%. I find him to be a nice guy, Trump said. But the truth is, I called him out on the fact that he's not paying 2%. And I guess he's not very happy about that. And that is why this president is, let's just say, disliked by other world leaders, because among themselves they're supposed to have this decorum where they don't call each other out. Donald Trump doesn't play that game, especially when he's in the right. And he is. It is a treaty that they entered into voluntarily. Hold up your end. Thank you. Now, if you thought the field of Democrat aspirees to what is to be the meat grinder of the presidential debates between Donald Trump and whoever wins this wasn't crowded enough, Bloomberg entered the race. He's at, 6%? I don't think he has any traction, and there are people, I believe, whispering in Hillary Clinton's ear that, hey, why not throw your hat in the ring? I mean, there's so many people already, and you have name recognition, and you might just be the nominee again. And the only reason that I think she's hesitant is because she knows that she would get trounced again. Because an unproven Donald Trump beat her in 2016. Now you have Donald Trump with 4 years of accomplishments behind him, with a roaring economy, with a low unemployment rate, going up against the same pantsuit-wearing old lady. So I think she knows. She's a smart enough political animal to understand that she has no chance to beat Donald Trump. But this has been her dream for so long. This has been the desire of her heart for so long that she might just get roped into it again. And it would be hilarity on its face to see a redo of the debates again, to see a redo of the election, to see a redo of the tears and the crying and the abject failure. But, you know, that's just me. And, look, Hillary Clinton says she is deluged with requests to try another run for president and has still not completely ruled out joining the crowded field of 2020 Democrat candidates. this is how much this woman wants it. She hasn't ruled it out, even though she knows she's going to lose. Even though she knows that the track record that this administration has over the last 4 years has been good to a great majority of Americans. They got to eat steak one more day a week because they got the pay raise. They got to take their kids to an amusement park one more time because they got the tax reduction. People have built businesses because of the tax benefits that this administration has rolled out. So if an unproven Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton, one who's been proven over the last 4 years is just going to wallop her. But let's continue reading this just to understand how driven this woman is by a singular desire. The former U.S. Secretary of State has repeatedly avoided categorically stepping out of the race for the White House, or directly into it for that matter. During media appearances in the U.K. last month, Clinton twice hinted she may make a belated push on the basis she claims so many people want to see her on the national stage once more. I do too, but not for the reasons she thinks. I would love to see Hillary Clinton on the national stage once more. Because if you thought the first debates were fun to watch, these would be hilarious. Because right now, believe it or not, I don't know how it's possible, but Hillary Clinton has amassed even more baggage than in 2016. One of them being, and this is a developing story, but I'm sure it'll come out sooner or later, her penchant for visits at the Epstein Ranch in New Mexico. So it wasn't just Bill that was a dirty, dirty man. Apparently Hillary Clinton joined in numerous occasions, you know, because she likes the heat in New Mexico. It's the dry weather. It's good for her bones. Now, when you take into account that two major figures in her life were depraved pedophiles and rapists, one being William Jefferson, her husband, the second being one Jeffrey Epstein, the man whose home in New Mexico she visited countless times, apparently, you start to wonder about her character. You start to wonder about her nature. Just a thought, huh? You know, a certain kind of person attracts a certain kind of person. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say anything more. But yeah, it's unbelievably so. Hillary Clinton has more baggage than she did in 2016. While Donald Trump, I mean, unless they televise his proctology exam, they've done everything they could to this man. And still they found nothing. This whole impeachment thing is a farce, and they know it. And that's the sick thing. That's the disgusting thing. That's the thing that should make you angry. They know that it's a farce. They know there was no criminality there. You have the president of Ukraine, the man with whom Donald Trump spoke telephonically. The whole thing about which this impeachment hearing took place. And he made the affirmation, there was no quid pro quo. Nobody asked for nothing. What is this insanity? There is nothing. But they're not happy with that. They need to find something, anything. And in their blind hatred, they're not taking into account the fact that the patience of the average voter the patience of the average citizen is beyond wearing thin. I think we're at that point where we've run out. Because it has been 3 years of hype. It has been 3 years of constant, we're going to do it, we're going to do it, he's going to get done. First it was Russia, then it was Ukraine. Next time it'll be something else. But the average voter is getting sick and tired of elected officials not doing what they were elected to do. Even if you don't like Donald Trump, I don't believe for an instant that the reason you voted for somebody was so that they can try to get him out of office for no reason. So this is where we are. And Hillary is being deluged. Speaking on the BBC's Graham Norton show in London last Friday, Clinton confirmed she would have to make up my mind really quickly if she was going to join the race. You know what? If I was a betting man, I'd lean towards yes. Because the person that's supposed to be the front runner right now, which is Joe, where are my teeth, Biden, it's just getting worse and worse with him. I mean, he's embroiled in this controversy with Ukraine and his son and withholding $1 billion until the guy that was looking into his son's company got fired. Then you got him talking about liking children on his lap and playing with his leg hair. If you haven't seen it, oh, dear Lord in heaven, can somebody make the man shut up? He's just digging deeper and deeper. You got it. I don't know who brought Joe out of retirement, but they should have let him be. The man should have just enjoyed the twilight years of his life, played with his dogs, suckled on his wife's finger, because apparently that's a thing. He's done that in public recently. But no, it's that desire for power, that desire for control that pushes people. Even when John McCain knew he was dying, he still didn't step down. Because that's the mindset of these people. It's all about power. It's all about control. And when somebody comes along that says, hey, I just want to make the country better, oh, that's unacceptable. Because these rubes, these voters might expect the next guy to want the same thing. Don't stop putting it in their heads that they elected you. Make yourself seem like a king, like an emperor, like a queen. Have them fall on their faces before you and meagerly reach out their hands for the hopes of crumbs. More cheese, please. That's why I believe this man is hated by politicians on both sides. It's because he's like, hey, I just want to serve the American people. Now, is there perhaps a selfish desire to be called the best president ever? I'm sure there is. He is a vain man. But vanity is not impeachable, especially when he's doing a good job. Anyway, let's get back to this article because you got to, the mind of this woman. And again, another person, this woman was falling down like a plucked chicken being carried into a van during the last election. She's now 4 years older. So you think her health is magically better? But they're grasping at straws. They got nothing. Bloomberg came in, spent hundreds of millions of dollars, still nothing. Because Bloomberg is one of these people who insists that the new law is for thee, but not for me. His tyrannical form of control is you tax the things that you don't want people doing to the point that they don't do it anymore. So it's control by taxation. It's not outlawing something. It's making something so expensive by way of taxation that people will naturally gravitate away from it. Tax gas at 700%. You'll have more people buying electric cars, even though, for the most part, nobody wants them. Get it? So, yeah, Bloomberg didn't make a splash. And with Kamala being out, they're running out of strong, independent, fierce women to be the first woman president. And I think that she's weighing it, man. She's chomping at the bit, thinking to herself, how do I do this? Because it'll be a wasted year, and she knows it. But what if? Just outside chance. Meteor comes, boom, hits Donald Trump in the forehead, and she has to run against Pence, who doesn't have that much charisma or dynamism as Donald Trump. There's 100 things that could happen. She's thinking to herself, should I? Could I? So, if more people drop out and Joe Biden continues to lose his shine, as I believe will happen, I think she might just make a last-ditch effort. And I think it'll be a bloodbath in 2020 because it'll be a repeat of 2016 wherein Hillary Clinton and the DNC sort of robbed Bernie. So all the Bernie bros are going to stay home again, even though he wouldn't have won the nomination this time either. It's going to be interesting. Again, I'm looking at this from all angles. And they know there's no path to victory for them. But on the off chance that there might be a one percentile chance, she's probably going to throw her hat in the ring. When pushed to respond if she would make a run for the White House for a third time, she prevaricated. She avoided. I don't like writers who use big words when they could use little words. She avoided a direct reply. Instead, responding with, as I say, never, never, never say never. Okay. She did concede she would need to make up her mind really quickly about whether or not to jump into the presidential race. Clinton has already missed the filing deadline for the first primary in New Hampshire, but there is no deadline for the next caucuses in Iowa in early February. Responding to Norton, Clinton said she had been deluged over the last few weeks thinking about running again, but added that right now, I'm not at all planning that. I guarantee you. There are think tanks working overtime in D.C. and the surrounding suburbs, doing polling, seeing whether she has a shot to be the nominee. I guarantee you these people aren't sleeping a wink. Because if she were really that passe about it, she'd say no, offhand. Nope, not going to go through that again. But she's not that passe about it. Oh, she's chomping at the bit. Norton asked, the rumor mill is flying that you could step back into the ring. Clinton replied, I hear that. I have been deluged the last few weeks with thinking about doing that. But right now, I'm not at all planning that. Last month, Clinton told BBC Radio 5 Live she was under enormous pressure to consider a 2020 White House run. When asked about her future in politics, Clinton said, I feel a sense of responsibility, partly because, you know, my name was on the ballot. I got more votes, but ended up losing to the current incumbent in the White House who I think is really undermining our democracy in a very fundamental way. And I want to retire him. Well, Madam Secretary, because that is all you will ever be, the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, and everyone in between has tried to retire this man. And yet here he stands. I don't think that you have a shot, but it'll be fun watching. I guarantee you will get some hoot and hollers out of it. When asked if she is absolutely ruling it out, Clinton said, "I will certainly tell you, I'm under enormous pressure from many, many, many people to think about it. But as of this moment, sitting here in this studio talking to you, that is absolutely not in my plans." Clinton and her daughter are currently in London promoting their new co-authored book, The Book of Gutsy Women. Sorry, I just had to swallow a little bit of throw up. The Book of Gutsy Women. Look, making yourself a victim because you're a woman doesn't make you gutsy. Coming out and saying you felt threatened because Donald Trump was so big and hovering during the debate doesn't make you gutsy. Stop, gutsy women. How about, I don't know, maternal women? I'd like that book. Women who chose to raise their children rather than, you know, make failed attempts at the presidency. Not once, not twice, but three times. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, yeah, they're no closer to having a nominee among the Democrats, and I think this is weighing heavily on Madam Secretary. And by now, there should be a clear front runner. By now, there should be someone that is out front. But nope, not a one. And time is ticking away. And I told you this a few months ago, and I want to reiterate because, again, it's worth noting. Keep an eye on him. Pete Buttigieg, nobody gave him a shot. Everybody was laughing. And I told people time and time again, the most dangerous person in the entire field, as far as Christians is concerned, the most dangerous person for the church is one Mayor Pete Buttigieg, even though he's got a baby face. That man has a hatred and loathing for Christians and Christianity, the likes of which I've never seen. And the fact that there are pastors or so-called pastors hosting him, allowing him to, you know, share their pulpit, just goes to show you how far Christianity has fallen, how little discernment we have. It's astounding to me. And you know what? I wish I could say I'm certain of what 2020 will hold, but there are just too many things that could go awry. There are just too many things that could happen, and we could be living a nightmare of our own, like the Venezuelans, like the Cubans, like the former Russians, like the former Romanians. Because once that cat is let out of the bag, there's no coming back from that. Once you decimate your economy, once every job creator flees somewhere else, once you get people hooked on the dole. Once you have a majority of takers, then that's all she wrote. There is no coming back from that. I don't care who you are, except by violent revolution. And you know what? I believe that violent revolution is on the horizon. Not just because my grandfather foresaw it back in 1984, but because there's only so much the average citizen can take. There's only so much pressure you can put on somebody's back before it snaps. And I think we're close to snapping. There's too much going on. There's too many entities attempting to silence anyone they disagree with. There are too many powerful forces that are perfectly fine with getting somebody fired, taking away their livelihood, making them homeless and unable to feed their family just because they offended a homosexual or they offended somebody that they called Bob instead of Betty. That should be concerning. That should be frightening. That should be something that should cause a lot of outrage, and I'm not seeing it. Because eventually, it will all be a simulation, but it'll be a fake assimilation. The only voices you will hear are the voices they want you to hear, but a great number of people will just seethe in silence until they can't take it anymore. So I don't see a good future for this nation or for the world, but it's not surprising given what the Word of God told us would be. You see, when we read the Word of God, we see a roadmap to the end of days. We see a roadmap of what will occur between now and when Christ returns. And if we are wise, we will prepare for these things. If we are unwise, we'll just shrug it off and say, "Oh, that could never happen here." We've heard that once too many times throughout history, only to see that, yes, it could happen even here. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us. May God bless you. May God keep you. And until next time, this has been the Light of Truth radio broadcast. God bless you. Gino, if you've got anything to say, now is your time.
Thank you, Michael. A couple things. First of all, I think it would be very important if you can check out our website at handofhelp.com. And try to get the video, Wake Up America. You know, revolution is not too far off. And the whole message is in the video about what's coming to America. And I would urge people to blow a trumpet while you can. Don't be timid. Don't be shy. Stand up for God and help in 2020 to raise awareness that support President Trump as much as you can. And Republicans that stand for pro-life and pro-family values, we've got to fight and defend our faith, our freedom, and what we believe. And so we really urge you, your church family, your home church family, your local folks that you have influence with, please consider one night sharing the video, Wake Up America. Also, you can go to our website and check out our books and prophetic messages, and I have music on the website as well. And let other people know about the Light of Truth radio broadcast. It will be broadcast tomorrow night at 6 o'clock Central Time, and then it'll be put up on the YouTube channel. God bless you so much for listening to the Light of Truth. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.